Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
See their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today.
Ponte, you know, like I view coaching as you have various skills. Some people are stronger in some areas than others. I don't know if everyone sees it that way, but that's how I see it. You know, for example, do I think that Steve Kerr, I'll go basketball first, is the greatest tactical coach of all time? No, but I think he's good enough tactically. I also think that he is a brilliant communicator. And when it comes to understanding certain people on his team, do I think that he empowers some of the young guys? At times, yes. And at times, no. And we can quibble at it. In the NFL, there are CEO head coaches, what I would call like leadership generals. John Harbaugh comes to mind. Mike Tomlin comes to mind. Very successful. Then there are tactical, cerebral assassins. Belichick, right? I think Andy Reid would be one of those guys. Andy's not more of your, he can be a great leader, but I don't see him as the rah-rah guy that John Harbaugh is, or even Jim Harbaugh is. They're just different skill sets. My interpretation of Kyle's skill set is that he is excellent when it comes to the X's and O's and the play calling and this, that, and the other. And some of the other stuff that people want, that's not necessarily his wheelhouse. And I think we actually underrate how good he is at that, because clearly the players love him. I mean, they've always...
Yeah, I don't think we really know, you know, when I hear this stuff about whether or not this guy's a leader. Then I, like for Belichick, for example, people are like, well, he's tactical, he's a chess player, doesn't really get caught up with the players. But then I see the players go to his office.
They
and he
swear
talks to the players, and he jokes with the players all the time. Andy Reid, the same thing. Now, Shanahan refuses to get mic'd up, and they hate the hard knock stuff, and they want to be private or whatnot. I don't know what type of leader Kyle Shanahan is, but he's yet to lose a locker room. He's yet to lose a locker room. So it must be some type of great leader. We don't know his relationships with each player. There's text messages going on back and forth. Hell, the players are at his house partying with Rick Ross. I mean, so I don't really know what type of leader he is. I know he's led the Niners to a 54-29 record over the last 5 years entering the season. He's led them to 4 NFC championship games and 2 Super Bowl appearances.
And right now, like, Dan Campbell's like the hot man on campus. Everybody loves him, right? Which, hey, look, the guy's been awesome. He's been awesome. But I also think, like, it's fair to be like, all right, well, what do you look like when Ben Johnson leaves and you have to replenish some of your coordinators? And I think the beauty of someone like Harbaugh, I'm talking about John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin, is they've kind of proven over decades, like, they're pretty good at hiring these coordinators and kind of keeping it rolling.
And I want to say this about that.
What?
Dan Campbell helped mold Ben Johnson.
No doubt.
Do we even know who Ben Johnson was before Dan Campbell?
No.
Dan Campbell gets credit for that. You know, and I think Dan Campbell will continue to have that program rolling because of their nucleus in Detroit. They're all young. Penei Sewell, Amara St. Brown. And you know, I was thinking about this with Detroit. I was talking with Carlos Ramirez yesterday because he was talking about, you know, the 49ers postgame show, you know, Detroit's cocky. And I was like, they're all cocky.
Yeah.
The Niners were cocky. Debo Samuel's still telling people they've been the best team the last 4 years.
He thinks Detroit's too cocky?
Yeah, he's talking about their cockiness. They haven't done anything yet. And I was like, well, we haven't really done anything yet either. We've won a couple division titles and got to the Super Bowl, but we didn't win the ultimate prize. The Lions now, with the way they're running up the score, and I had no problem with that. The way they're kind of jogging into the end zone and dancing and stuff like that. They have an early 90s Dallas Cowboys feel to them.
Ooh, I like that.
They have the head coach who's...
The O-line.
Yeah, the O-line is nasty.
I think it's the best O-line in football.
It's nasty. The head coach is cocky. He's confident.
It's a good call.
Eric Glenn, up-and-coming defensive player. You don't really know much about their defense right now. A lot of no-namers, but they're making plays. And their offense has... They can be physical. They can be finesse. They can win in all elements. Don't let them win a Super Bowl this year, man. Do not let them win a Super Bowl, because it could be a run. You know, it could be a nice little run for them.
Well, I think as you look at them, one thing that I admire about the way that they employ their offense, and I guess this will be, again, this is just my little nitpick, but I love that they have the two backs, and they have very specific skill sets, and they're a little diverse from each other. And there are games where I want more Jahmyr Gibbs watching Detroit, and there are, because of fantasy. And there are games where I want more David Montgomery, because I think he's more of the pounder in between the tackles. And
you know what, though? He catches passes, too.
Oh, no, he's a great
player.
He's
in the pass game, too.
He's way better in Detroit than I thought. Right. I thought of him when he was in Chicago.
Yeah, no, I have had him in fantasy. He is a monster.
He's an excellent player, but I like the way they use both guys. And I look at the Niners, and there are times where I'm like, you got bodies back there. I'm not saying you got to go 50-50 down the middle or even 33-33-33 with Garendo, but like, we can't find 6 to 8 touches for Jordan Mason? We can't?
Let's go to Bud in Oakland. Bud, what's happening? What happened? Why'd you cut him?
I don't know.
Why'd I cut him? Did you hear that connection?
It was about to come through. Give him a little buffer. 3 seconds, man.
No.
Damn, hit it out. Jeez.
No, Bonte, we needed to hear more paper being crushed.
No, I think he was trying to get his stuff right. But call back when you get your line. Troy and Clayton. Troy, what's happening?
Hi, Troy.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Poor Bud. He got smoked there, didn't he? He got rolled.
He got smoked.
It's your trigger finger over here, man. Go ahead, Bud.
I know, right? Get the guy shot, man.
Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying. Guy's been at home for 20 minutes. Troy, what's happening?
So listened to the radio all day yesterday and heard a number of things. Debo's lost a step. Receivers can't separate. The defensive line in that four-man push can't get to the opposing quarterback. Purdy doesn't look as effective as he did. Shanahan's predictable. He needs to go. Now, all of those things could be true, and a lot of those could be. Everybody has their one point. Shanahan's an offensive coordinator. He's not a coach. Now, all of those things might be true and probably are, but you can't fix them all in a week, right? You can't. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Yeah. And I think if you look at what's the DNA of the 49ers, right? The DNA of the 49ers has been their offensive line and running the football, and they haven't been effective at that. And it's really interesting how you see a lot of McCaffrey, and you see little amazing. I think he had 2 rushes on Sunday, and I think they were back-to-back. But he looks effective. And if you look at it, it seems like when you talk about Mason in the backfield, what gives you the most effective possibility of doing well in the backfield? And that's Mason, period. It just is. But two things can be true at the same time. It seems like if you say, I want to see Mason in the backfield, you're saying that McCaffrey doesn't have it and he's not going to have it. That's not true. It's only been 2 weeks. I mean, what's Green Bay's going to be 3? I mean, let's give the guy some health care. Now, it doesn't mean that McCaffrey's not going to be there. It means that he may not right now. And he looked gassed. There was a couple of times when they showed the huddle, and he was on one knee in the huddle. He looks gassed. So let's give him a shot and give him some help. It doesn't mean he's not going to get it done. What it does mean, that Mason gives you the most effective possibility of an effective running game against Green Bay on Sunday.
Yes,
and everybody's talking about, you know, Detroit. Let's worry about the 6 inches in front of our face right now. And right now, that's Green Bay. And I think what gets lost a little bit, too, is that I think there's a symbiotic relationship between offenses and defenses, and one survives because of the other. Mm. And last year, the Niners were scoring, 31, 32 points a game. So when the defense came on the field, if they had a long, sustained drive by the opposition, and they were able to give up maybe 3 points or a touchdown, they were 2 possessions away from losing the lead. And late in the fourth quarter, they're just not doing that right now. And so I think the game on Sunday, what really lost it was when they turned the ball over on downs. So the defense had held up. Seattle turned the ball over on downs, and they couldn't drive. It was late in the fourth quarter. It was like 2:45 40 left, and they couldn't drive, and so they had to punt. And they're in that tweener spot of, you know, it's a long kick. If I miss it, I give the ball up on the 40. If I go for it, I think it was 4th and 6. If I go for it on 4th and 6, I give the ball up on the 40. So what they had was hope. I hope that I'm going to punt, and I hope the defense can get it done. And hope's not a strategy. It's just not. And hope's not going to get it done. It's just like with McCaffrey, hoping that the red zone problems are going to go away. Our rushing problems are going to go away. This is going to go away, and that's going to go away because McCaffrey's coming back. That's a hope, and hope isn't a strategy, and that's not going to get it done. And you can't pin all your hopes on McCaffrey because he's coming back from a major injury and he hasn't played in the entire season. That's not going to get it done. And I think if you look at the difference between last year and this year is that was the game to me. That was the game is when they gave it up. They couldn't put together a sustained drive.
No, and now you're the right. Defense is just, you're right. You're right, Troy. He's going to ramble. Now, nobody's worried about Detroit. We just brought Detroit up. We're worried about Green Bay. Not even worried about Buffalo. Worried about Lambeau Field.
Detroit feels like the favorite to represent the NFC.
And we're worried about Brock Purdy and his shoulder because he's day-to-day. And then where's Nick Bosa? And then where's George Kittle? And then how does Debo feel? And then you got a Trent Williams. He apparently had to take Tylenol to get the ankle right and play on Sunday. So did the Tylenol wear off in the second half? I have no idea. But he needed Tylenol. He needed a shot to get the ankle right. So they're beat up.
You know, one of the things that he was referencing, and you were talking about solutions and what would you look for from Kyle Shanahan to evolve. One thing I just want to see, just something that I personally would like to see, you get in the red zone. You've struggled to run the ball in the red zone, right? Every team's trying to do it right now. Why not split McCaffrey out as a slot guy who has to be accounted for and have Mason in the backfield? And it opens up whether it's the Mason running lane and kind of get guys off the line of scrimmage. And so you can't pile 8-9 guys in the line of scrimmage. And now you have optionality, you know, Juwan Jennings on one side, CMC in the slot or CMC on the far side, and like get the matchups you're looking for. I know that he doesn't necessarily have the same explosion that he had last year. He's still a great route runner. And I would just try something like that. I want to see Mason with CMC split out.
Oh, no, I don't know if CMC ran great routes last week. He is a great route runner, per se. But with this injury here, I haven't seen great crisp routes from Christian McCaffrey consistently. But how about getting Garrido in that backfield? Because we talk about explosiveness and we talk about speed. He had the 76-yard touchdown. Looked just like Raheem Mostert. Well, he looked just like Mostert running down that sideline. I say, damn, this guy from Louisville can fly. Well, you need more guys that can fly. And if Garrido gets some space and he's in a one-on-one situation, I like my chances with this kid. I would look for him in space as well. I need to get the speed on the field. This is a fast league. I need speed, speed, speed.
Well, and he's a guy that started off as a wide receiver in college, which just blew me away. You tell me you can't use him. I always think of Darren Sproles. Like, Darren Sproles will always have a role in this league.
I just get him in space. Let's see Garrido get about 5 touches. But now I get there's only a certain amount of plays in the game, but I want to get some explosiveness on the field. All right, we're going to get to everybody. Bud in Oakland's back. Ronnie Conkert. Chris of Palo Alto wants to talk about the play calling. Ronnie wants to talk about Shanahan and must-win games. Wonder where he's going to go in that direction there. But we'll take his call on the other side. We'll shift to the Warriors in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all coming up, brought to you by Safeway.
The Eagles were 2-2. People were calling for them to fire their coach, and now they've won 6 in a row. You never really know when it's going to flip in any season, and I think it can absolutely flip at any time for the Niners. And I tend to still think it will, guys. I mean, I don't know when, but I would still pick the Niners to win that division despite all of the evidence to the contrary.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
All right, that was Ross Tucker yesterday with Steiny and Evan. Ross Tucker joins us every single week. Of course, Ross Tucker calls games, CBS, Westwood One. He's got the Ross Tucker podcast. He's an Odyssey NFL insider, and he's still picking the Niners to win a division. And look, it's very possible. You're going to win on Sunday against Green Bay. I don't think they're a juggernaut. I think Green Bay, when I watch them, I'm a little underwhelmed at times watching Green Bay. Jordan Love will turn it over. He will. He's got all the talent in the world, but he'll turn it over. The receivers are a bit inconsistent. They drop a lot of passes, although Christian Watson had a big day at Soldier Field a week ago. He made some big, big plays for Jordan Love deep down the field in the passing game, and they will throw it deep, no doubt. And Josh Jacobs is a hell of a running back. Always love Josh Jacobs coming out of Alabama. So, but it's still possible because the Cardinals play the Seahawks this Sunday. Who knows who wins that? The Rams are hosting Philadelphia, and he brings up Philadelphia. And I was actually thinking about that during the show. They showed Sirianni. I said, boy, the noise on Sirianni's died down. And you know what? I'm not a big Sirianni fan, but he has made the playoffs every single year as head coach. And I saw something where he was aligned with some of the greatest of all time in terms of having consecutive 8-win seasons to start a career. He's up there with the best of the best.
Well, it's interesting. We were just having a conversation about coordinators. You know, last year they pointed the finger at the two coordinators, the DC and the OC, and then they made big hires, and look at them now.
They're big time. So you think Shanahan maybe needs to hire an OC?
No, no. What I'm saying is that different people have different skill sets, and Sirianni, like, again, the beginning of the year, it came out, Jalen Hurts says, I don't respect his X's and O's on the whiteboard. Well, it doesn't matter if you respect his X's and O's on the whiteboard if he's not calling plays, right? Like, that's what Kellen Moore is there for. I believe that was the guy that they hired that they paid a lot of money to. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, you need Sirianni to be more of a CEO head coach, right? And so, like that's not his thing. Whereas, okay, for example, Kevin O'Connell is calling plays in Minnesota. That's his jam. Sean McVay is calling plays in LA. Mm-hmm. So there's just different skill sets at coach. And clearly Sirianni's is rah-rah guy, I guess.
Well, but they win, though.
I'm not saying
He must do something right. He must be doing something right because all he does is win.
Well, Howie's built a really good team, and they're playing really good football right now. Saquon, you and I have discussed
CMC.
That's
their CMC move.
100%.
That was the home run hit that they've made, and they've got a bell cow running back, and he's healthy, and you hope that he doesn't wear down because he's better. The league is better when he's playing. He's such a dynamic player, but to go alongside A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith takes a lot off of Jalen Hurts' plate. Running game is a quarterback's best friend. There's no doubt about that. And the 49ers running game recently has been a bit inconsistent. 888-957-9570.
You know I geek out about these things, and I know you're going to throw it out to the audience, but like Saquon signed a 3-year, $37 million deal.
Yep.
Do you know how much bargain you're getting for the production? Now, I know the Niners are looking at the CMC thing. Like, we gave the guy a bunch of money and he's hurt, because that can happen at running back. He's one of the best bargains in the sport.
He's the number one player in fantasy. I mean, when I drafted him in one of my leagues, 6th overall, and a lot of league laughed at me. It's like, really? Situation, man. Situation matters.
$26 million guaranteed at signing. It's just like, for the life of me, on the wide receiver contracts, as we've learned now in Ninerland, very few are worth the $30 million price tag. And I know you have to have them because your quarterbacks need them. And I understand all that. But gosh, it's just there's such great value out there.
Well, Philadelphia has done a great job. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they locked them up alongside Saquon Barkley. So their skill position is set. Skill positions are set.
Absolutely.
With the quarterback, too. And they already had the built-in offensive line, so you got to give Sirianni credit, man. He's been really good. All right, we'll get back to let's get to Ronnie in Concord, then we'll give Bud another crack here in Oakland. All Ronnie, what's happening?
Hey, Ronnie.
Morning, boys. I think Shanahan loves this type of situation. He is a perfectionist, right? So everything has to happen perfect from here on out throughout the season. And I was listening to John Gruden on another podcast. He said that said this about coaches around the NFL, that they love this sort of misery of, you know, being behind and having to catch up to everybody. And I think, as he's shown the last 2 of the 3 years, that they can come back from these type of situations. So they go in, they beat Green Bay, potentially beat Buffalo. I mean, the season's not dead. I'm tired of all this Shanahan slander. I mean, yes, he's had her off year. Sorensen, first year in the D.C. There are still playmakers on this team. They can still get this done. Just get us to the dance, and we got a shot. That's all I got.
There's an optimistic 49er fan. Wow. You don't find those. You don't find too many of those these days.
Look, it's a difficult road.
He's not optimistic.
No matter how you look at it. Just getting to the playoffs is going to be difficult. It's an uphill climb. But if any team has kind of earned the benefit of the doubt, I know you and I were talking about how, like, it's unfair to basically compare them to last year. But I do believe you've earned some equity,
right.
right, from what you've done. Like, your past does matter a little. I gave the Patriots, and they were champions, so it's a little different. We gave them every benefit of the doubt. You never count out the Patriots, right? Same with the Chiefs now. I mean, the Niners are on a short list of teams that has, I believe, earned your trust. Detroit clearly has done that. Philadelphia, and you and I were very worried about Philadelphia coming into this year, and you look up, and, I mean, to I think most people, they're the second-best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, they're right there. They're right there. They beat the Commanders, and they beat the Commanders up pretty good on Thursday Night Football. The score really lied. Scudetti and I talked about it last Friday. Yeah. They really controlled that football game. Now, somebody's coming at me here because I do want to talk about Green Bay as we move forward to Green Bay. And, you know, 6-5, oh, hey, man, Bonte talking about Green Bay being underwhelmed, and they're 7-3. Niners going to get whooped by the underwhelming Packers. Maybe they will. But I'm looking at the Packers here, and they had the good win against the Texans at home. Good win. I'm not sure if Nico Collins played that game. I can click on it, but they went life and death with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Life and death with them. Jaguars stink, all right? The Lions went into their house and took over their trap and dominated the football game. Dominated the football game. The Bears lined up for the game-winning field goal. Game-winning field goal. Controlled the clock. Did whatever they had to do. They got their kid blocked.
Well, the margins are thin.
And the margins are very, very thin. But Green Bay, I bet you, I can't wait to talk to Bill Schmidt on Friday. I'll ask him the same question. I know you guys are 7-3, and it's a hell of a lot better being 7-3 than 5-5. But just watching their game, something just feels off with Green Bay. Oh. They haven't put together a full four quarters, well, but it's better to be 7-3. I'm just saying, I expected them to be in the conversation with Detroit and Philadelphia, and right now it's hard for me to put Green Bay in the conversation with Philadelphia and Detroit.
Yeah, they're a click below those teams. Right. I would agree with you. The Jordan Love, you know, injuries all year have been a part of their season, and winning a couple of games with Malik Willis, I think, is probably the most impressive thing LaFleur's done this year. If we're just looking at it as a whole, and Jordan's been up and down, right? And I think he's been overcompensating once that groin injury kicked in. And I mean, I have him in fantasy, and it's like, do I start him this week? Do I not?
Because
he's just so inconsistent right now.
Yeah, I've got him too.
And they've got excellent receivers, and it feels like Reed's dropped some big balls this year for them deep down the field. Dobbs has been pretty reliable.
Their wide receivers have dropped a lot of passes.
Yeah, you know, they're a team defensively, though, that I think that's the biggest change from last year to this year. Last year, their defensive coordinator was on the hot seat all year. The fans wanted him gone from the get-go. And it feels like this year, although the numbers have dipped a little, like they've been much, much better hiring the guy from Boston College.
No doubt. He's a good coach. Good defensive coordinator. By the way, Anthony Slater, 8:30. Don't forget, Anthony Slater, 8:30 to talk some Dubs. They take on the Hawks, and the Hawks have some pretty impressive defensive numbers. When we talk about deflections and rebounding and steals and stuff, the Hawks are right there with the Golden State Warriors. It's a scrappy little young team that's athletic, so I'm going to have to bring their hard hats today and bounce back. It's not going to be an easy game, in my opinion. That'll come up at 8:30. Ted Wynn from The Athletic covers the NFL for The Athletic, breaks it all down. We'll get the schematics of Kyle Shanahan and what he's seeing from the offense and why can't they block a cover zero blitz? You know, why do they let the free rusher come in and throw short and throw hot? We'll get to that. Plus, I want to get Ted Wynn's opinion on Fred Warner. Is Fred Warner moving around well? What is he seeing from Fred Warner, number 54? Because if he's not moving around well, then damn, we got problems in our heads. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? All right, Bud, let's get Bud one last crack.
Okay, Bud.
Bud, we'll give Bud another crack. I'm doing you a solid, Bud, in Oakland. Spinotti's ready to dump you right now. Let's go, Bud.
Nah, don't dump me, man. We from the Bay, man. You got to have that Bay Area love. Listen, so real quick, what's wrong with the Niners is the team is demoralized. Now, I'm going to try to give y'all a double take real quick if y'all will allow me. So, with Shanahan, the team is demoralized. And you guys asked, is there any disconnect and what does Shanahan need to change up? Well, those two things are one and the same. The disconnect and what needs to change is the way he rewards guys. Now, for the past couple of years, you guys have had stars and divas or devos. You know what I mean? Because the O is masculine. You've had these guys go J.G. Wentworth, it's my money and I want it now, and hold out. And then they've been rewarded, and now they're not available. They're not producing. They can't play. So you got a bunch of other grown men on the team who's sacrificing their bodies as well, who have to do the same job, whether they're superstars or not. When you're a superstar, you know you're going to get paid. So you got guys who's looking around and seeing these guys who were rewarded, who were paid to come in here and produce, and they're not available. So he needs to change the way he rewards these guys to help the morale. Like I said, you got guys, and I understand it's injury. You know what I mean? But they're demoralized. And then quickly with the Warriors, if the Warriors think that they're going to have a rebounding problem when Looney's not playing, just what do you guys think about Daniel Theis, real quick? His numbers for the past couple of years, his career, he's a solid
five rebounds a game.
I like
Daniel Theis.
He's nasty, not a bad player. Too.
He's not a bad player at all. Now, you know, I'm starting to get from Warrior fans, and even my dad. I haven't heard from my dad in a few weeks, and I got a call from him yesterday, and he brought up Quentin Post. What do you think about Quentin Post? So that a Quentin Post hype is starting.
Well, what's the hype? I haven't seen him. Has he even played? People
want to know if he can play 10 minutes or not. Okay. Pick a pop is a big.
Did I miss? Did he play at all this year?
He's playing with the G League team.
Oh, no, I meant the real team.
No, he hasn't played.
I love the Warriors, but Vontae, I'm not as tapped in on C-Dub's action as maybe I should be.
No. Quentin Post has had some numbers, but I'm starting to get people asking me about Quentin Post. I'm just saying. You know how it goes. Quentin Post, baby.
Well, he hasn't popped up in a Bronny James highlight at all?
No, he has not. Has Bronny James even played in the G League?
What? LeBron was at the game with his wife.
Yeah, he scored the 4 points. Yeah, that's right. Everybody went crazy over that.
Which I bring up because Shassi said the other day that your timeline's being flooded with Bronny James highlights.
Yeah. Somehow the algorithm.
That was where my question.
Sam, since you cracked the mic and inserted yourself into the show, let me ask you a question. We had a running bet yesterday yesterday was like, what is it, a potluck here at the office where everybody brings food and everything. And Bonte said he's going to be out of here. I said, I have to get out of here. And we left. Did you stay for said potluck?
Well, how about this? How about you guys, would you like an over-under for like how many plates I made?
You made 2 plates, huh?
No, I made 0 plates. Because we left before the potluck started, as I had told you was going to happen.
Why?
They promised it would be ready at 12 o'clock.
It wasn't ready until 1.
It was right until 1. So I'm sitting in the little main area out there, the kitchen area, waiting for it to start. And I hear, yep, we're going to have to start at 1. This is at like 12:15-ish. It's like, yeah, I'm tired. I'm not waiting until 1 o'clock.
So you guys were here at 12?
You were here at 12, yeah.
Much like the 49ers season, they left me wanting more.
Wow. It's like Tyrese Maxey wanting more from Joel Embiid.
I was basically Joel Embiid at that potluck. I was not there.
Or the Utah Jazz wanting more of Dalton Connect last night.
Or wanting more from the Warriors in a trade for Lowry Marketing.
Anyway, how about those Niners?
I did watch that Laker game. Dalton Connect is a player. Sonny was right out here. You guys, that dude.
Hey, he's a player.
I only watched him one time in college. It was against Purdue, and I saw what Sonny saw. I was like, oh, this guy might be a good pro.
I like him a lot.
9 threes yesterday, 21 in the third quarter. He was putting on a show.
Great feel.
Does it make Austin Reeves expendable?
Oh, can't get rid of him. After losing Caruso, the Laker Nation can't lose him. But the floor is real quick.
Hey, brief aside. By the way, 405. No. Our boy, no. Quentin Post is Naz Reid. He's a Naz Reid type.
How about he plays the game first?
I do. I'm not going to lie. When they drafted him,
Naz Reid.
He's old. He's 24, 25, coming out of Boston College. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw some Quentin Post soon.
If we could be so lucky.
Naz Reid is sick. That boy, I like that. No. He's Naz Reid. Oh my God. Quentin Post is selling a lot of jerseys here. He's selling a lot of jerseys.
No, he won't. I mean, what are we doing?
He would sell. Quentin Post, if he bought out and carved out a role like Naz Reid, are you kidding me?
Call Chase Center the post office.
Ooh,
I like that.
Dude, Loveman, just keep shooting. Shoot.
That's the best thing you've said in like weeks. Wow. That was actually worth you cracking the mic.
And then you got people dressing up like postal workers. Oh, like the mailman?
I like that.
And mail people.
I'm actually going to steal that.
I like that actually, a lot.
You know what? I do like that.
I like that a lot.
Quit post the mailman now?
The mailman.
I mean, well, that was
there's
Karl
only
Malone.
One mailman. His name is Karl Malone. He's one of the greatest scorers the game has ever seen.
What a horrible human being.
I was going to say that latter part.
Yeah, you know, but like,
change that nickname.
You brought it up here. The Joel Embiid situation. Because I just saw something pop up on my timeline about betting odds. Where's Joel Embiid going to get traded to? And Indiana was the favorites to land Joel Embiid if Philadelphia does want to give up on them. What are they, 2-11?
Yeah.
They're awful right now. Yeah. He's not playing every day. And Maxey called him out saying that, dude, you're late to everything, like literally everything. He's a reigning MVP, and he's late to everything. Scott, we should get Kate Scott on soon. Maybe she won't tell us
to anything. Discuss Joel Embiid. Maybe what's she gonna say?
Yeah, she's probably not gonna say.
I mean, he's like, come on. We knew what we saw from Joel Embiid in Team USA. Like, he was clearly someone that Kerr felt that he had obligated to play because he was gonna lose him in the locker room, and everyone's like, get Embiid off the floor. Play Anthony Davis. What are we doing?
He had a couple games.
Oh, he had no games. Get out of here.
He had a couple games. No, he stepped up in a couple games.
He had a couple moments.
Because LeBron James afterwards would say, Joel Embiid, that's what I'm bleeping talking about. Remember LeBron went psycho and he grabbed Curry's hair? Embiid was really good in that game. He was. Give him credit. He had a couple games in the Olympics. Wasn't that bad.
He was bad. His minutes were bad.
Wasn't that bad. Quentin Post. I'm looking for his
genius. Quentin Post. Why?
I'm intrigued. The nicknames, the posterizer.
Poster.
The postman.
He has not stepped on a floor in a live game.
In the G League, I think he had like a 2025 game in the G League. No joke.
A 2025?
I did, no
25
joke,
rebounds?
Yeah. I, if I'm not mistaken, let me pull up the Santa Cruz C-Dub stats. He had some games, dude. He had some games, man.
We can call a segment the Post-it Notes.
Ooh.
I like that. Last night's note, DNP. I mean, coach's decision. I mean, like, what are we doing, dude? Like,
did not post?
And highlight her Sharpie.
Hey, man, it's just saying.
I'm not saying that I'm not excited, but it's like, you better get on this train. I mean, I've done this before on the Warrior Land.
Hey, look, my boy Easley Wong. Hey, Bonte, I gladly wear my poster uniform to a Dubs game in support of Quentin Post.
And Jonathan from SF. Jonathan from SF. We're here. They're there. I'm telling you,
there's something there. There's something there with this Post, man.
Rain, sleet, or shine, you can count on Quentin Post.
See? There you go.
Even though they play inside.
All right, Kevin Knox had 24 the other night as he beat the South Bay Lakers. Oh, wow, Quentin Post is here with the full game highlights. And I'm looking at the box score right now. Quentin Post. Where's the cruise? Come on, right, here we go. Quentin Post the other night, 26 minutes, 5 of 11 from the floor, 2 of 7 from 3, 10 rebounds, 16 points. He had a double-double against the South Bay Lakers. So far in the G League, Quentin Post is averaging 18 points a game.
Oh, nice.
11 rebounds, 3 assists. He is shooting from 3, just 19%. He's taking his game inside, shooting 40%, but he's a 71% free throw shooter, which on this team would be really good because do you know, and Don Johnson put me onto this, Steph Curry shoots 94% from the free throw line. The rest of the team shoots 64%.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So you bring in Quentin Post, you add to the free throw shooting. Double-double Santa Cruz, man. 18.
Holy cannoli, man. Right. This is crazy.
I got a question for you. I want to have a little fun.
I'm not mad at that.
Let's suspend the seriousness for just a second, all right? Don't get aggravated. Don't get worked up. We were talking head coaches and all the various head coaches.
This dumb stuff. Okay, here we go.
What's wrong?
I already know where this is going.
I saw a post the other day that said...
A Quentin post.
Yeah, exactly. That basically said, like, just... Hypothetically, how many Niner fans right now would trade Shanahan straight up for Harbaugh?
Oh, my God.
We're just having fun. Spadoni. We're not saying we're doing it.
Spadoni threw the question in the thread yesterday. He threw the question in the thread. Why can't you give Spadoni credit?
Well, I saw it online as well.
No, Spadoni threw the question literally in the thread
Spadoni,
yesterday.
Explain, and look,
here's the other. This is the
thing. I think Spadoni found it online.
No.
It was a caller or texter that texted and Steiny read it aloud on air and they moved past it
pretty quick.
I thought it was interesting. It was just the way the Chargers are playing this year right now and the way the 49ers are, is it crazy to say that you'd rather have Jim Harbaugh right now over Kyle Shanahan? But that's prisoner of the moment.
So let's just go through the series of events here since we're going to have some fun. Let's have some fun because I thought we were having fun with Post. Have some fun with this. Spadoni sends the text. Wonder if Niner fans want Harbaugh over Shanahan. And I'm just like, great.
If you could trade Shanahan for Harbaugh right now, would you do it?
And I said something along the lines that I won't read online. And then I'm waiting on the show call. And I love it because me and Shasky already talked. I was like, whoa. Thanks for leaving me out the equation. He goes, we already talked. And I think something that we both are high on is this Shanahan and Harbaugh stuff. And I just, curious. I'm going to be playful, but I'm going to be serious at the same time. What did anybody think about trading? What did anybody trade Shanahan for Harbaugh, say, 10 months ago? Jim Harbaugh's not come up around here for a long, long time. And all of a sudden, we see Jim Harbaugh high-fiving everybody in the Chargers locker room, and now we want to trade Shanahan for Harbaugh. That's where we're coming
from. No, I don't. So, I don't even think I want to trade. I want to keep Kyle Shanahan. I think Kyle Shanahan.
Hypotheticals.
I think Kyle Shanahan is the right guy for the right job for this time, in this moment. But I do know a lot of Niner fans always loved Harbaugh and were sad the way it ended. And, you know, these things aren't stagnant. Like, to me, it's not a static thing. It's not like yes or no. Like, opinions evolve over time. If I would have asked people 5 years ago about Andy Reid and their opinion about him today, I think it would be dramatically different today. I mean, today he's considered one of the better coaches of the last 40 years, if not top two or three coaches.
What do you think, Niner fan? Like, here's what I told Lubman, and this is where I was trying to get to in the thread. What do you think Niner fans are going to say right now if you asked them, who'd you rather have, Shanahan or Harbaugh?
I think the majority would still say Shanahan.
I don't know about that.
I do. I think the majority would still say, like,
I don't know about that.
Let's think about this. Harbaugh would still have to hire an OC. We were talking about different head coaches and whatnot. Like, Harbaugh would still have to find a good OC, no matter where it is. He would have to hire a very good DC, clearly. And he's done a good job finding those guys, whether it's at Stanford, whether it's at San Francisco when he was with the Niners, or whether it's in Michigan. He's done a good job finding coordinators. But he is very reliant on his coordinators, right? I look at the quarterback position, and as bad as everybody tries to say Kyle Shanahan is, and quarterbacks get worse over time. The same thing happened with Harbaugh. I didn't think Kaepernick was as good as time went on with Harbaugh as, you know, as he should have been. I thought that the quarterback play did deteriorate. I thought the roster deteriorated. I thought working the up and down part of in the building, the infrastructure, the front office, empowering people to do their job. Jim Harbaugh wore everyone out. He wore everyone out. I don't think that's the case with Kyle Shanahan. I think Kyle Shanahan is pretty still liked by John Lynch. I think they have a really good working relationship. The same cannot be said for Harbaugh and Baalke after a couple of years. And maybe you could point the finger at Baalke, but I think Jim at that point in time had a lot of maturing to go through. We'll see how long it lasts in the honeymoon phase in LA with the Chargers. He's done great work. He's done great work. And Herbert feels like his entire career is going to be saved because of Jim Harbaugh. He's a really good coach. I'm taking Shanahan every day.
All right.
Who are you taking?
I'm taking the coach I have right now. I mean, yeah, I'm running with Shanahan. It's been more impressive.
We can agree Harbaugh was really good too, though.
Nobody's saying he wasn't. My thing is the recency bias kicks in, and this is the funny part. This is the fun part of sports, and this is kind of the frustrating part of sports. You go through a little turbulence, you go 5-5, and we discredit everything you've done over the last 5 years, and it's recency bias. And recency bias kicks in with this generation more so than any generation I could ever remember in terms of like, oh, let's just get rid of this guy for this guy. Let's get rid of this guy for this guy. Now we're talking about swapping coaches.
Harbaugh's That's a fun exercise.
Harbaugh's doing his thing with the Chargers. Shanahan's doing his thing here. What Shanahan has done with the 49ers has been more impressive than what Harbaugh did with the 49ers. We have a damn good head coach. You've had some great memories and moments over the last 5 years. You've got the two Super Bowls. They both haven't won it. So it is what it is. You know, I remember what happened when Harbaugh got let go. It was 50-50. In my opinion, there's a lot of people who's like, yeah, Harbaugh, get him out of here. He's too toxic. And there's a lot of people like me saying, damn, we lost Harbaugh.
I was devastated. So,
you know, he moved on. It's a decade later. He moved on to 2014. It's 2024. Get what I'm saying? We're good with the coach we have right now. Would people trade? And I know people would trade Shanahan for Harbaugh because of the personality, because of the high fives, because of the who's got it better than us, because of the quirkiness. And quote unquote, Shanahan doesn't motivate people. He does it rah rah. He's on his iPad, Microsoft Surface, whatever it is, and he's doing his own thing. And Jim Harbaugh's like got all the quirks and all the cliches in the world, and people eat that stuff up. They eat it up. But Harbaugh also wears out people. Go ask the people at Stanford.
Of course.
Go Blast the 49ers.
I mean, Michigan's facing sanctions. And the sanctions are kind of stupid, but they're facing sanctions right now. I mean, there's no doubt. But I also believe that, like, you know, your point about recency bias, I mean, that's kind of life, right? Like, you know, we're constantly assessing things, and property values are going up and down. Interest rates are going up and down.
Sports is different.
No, it isn't. Like, Tom Brady was considered the GOAT just, like, right when he retired. He's the greatest of all time. Now it's like back-to-back Super Bowls, 3 and 4 years or whatever, 3 and 5 years for Mahomes. Like, we might have a different GOAT.
Yeah, still a little premature. Brady's had, what, 7 rings?
Oh, come on.
He's got 7.
In 9 tries. It's incredible.
Let Mahomes get to 5. All right? Has Mahomes even surpassed Montana yet?
I don't know.
Mahomes is 3-1 in the Super Bowl, whereas Montana was 4-0. So.
Yeah.
And how many interceptions did Montana throw in Super Bowls?
Yeah, I don't think people get that deep into it, but I know you will.
He threw zero.
Yeah, of course.
How many has Mahomes thrown? Yeah, I could make the argument.
At least one.
I couldn't make the argument that Mahomes' defense carried him to those Super Bowl wins.
Okay, and
Montana's the one game against Philadelphia.
Montana's first Super Bowl with a goal line stand. Yeah. Like, come on. I mean,
Come on. Montana and company blew out Dan Marino in the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They blew out John Elway and the Broncos, dropped 55 on them.
Yeah.
Mahomes and company went toe to toe with Philadelphia. But those other two Super Bowls against the 49ers, their defense won that game.
Teams do win Super Bowls,
but Montana's been more impressive in the Super Bowls, has he not?
He's 29 years old with 3 Super Bowls.
We're playing hypotheticals.
I mean, like...
We're playing hypotheticals
What I'm saying is that we're constantly reassessing where people are in the pecking order. Like, for example, Steph Curry, before the 2022 championship, were there not an entire country of people who didn't think...
Well, there was a country of dummies. That's what I think. There was a country of dummies going into that. How can you go into that?
We reassess after more information is processed.
In the Bay Area, we didn't think about that. Well, maybe some people in the Bay did.
Some might have.
But the country, this whole dumb narrative that he has to win a finals MVP. I never even knew finals MVP was a big deal. I didn't. Nobody, a guy with a brain who watches basketball every day knew that Steph Curry was clutch. And he had the 3 rings and the 4th ring was icing on the cake. What if he gets a 5th ring? Is that icing on the cake, too, I guess?
I think with the USA team, these are just things that, notches on the belt. These are just, enhancers. These all enhance your legacy.
Steph Curry, I'm happy that the nation knows that he's a badass and he's a baller. But if you didn't know that 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, then shame on you.
Well, I knew Kobe was great.
Then I questioned your basketball acumen.
Well, I knew Kobe was great, but that 08 team enhanced my opinion of him. And it's not because I didn't think he was really, really, really good. It was like, wow, I get to root for this guy for the first time ever. And damn, he's freaking awesome. He's then he won me over. I think a lot of sports fans do that. You have sports biases. This happens whoever. Not everyone's sitting there objectively, journalistically watching games. We're sitting there rooting against and for people for crazy reasons. I don't like that team for X, Y, and Z reasons. I don't like that player because he broke my heart.
I would speak for yourself in that because in the basketball circles, I would not just get caught up with things like First Take where they're narrative driven about, can this guy get it done by himself? Like, I saw a show yesterday. Oh, no, it was the Lakers broadcast, their pregame show. And we're 13 games into the season, and it had MVP power rankings. MVP power rankings. We're 13 games into the season. I mean, come on. But what I want to know is, what's the question to Harbaugh? What is it? Would you swap Shanahan for Harbaugh?
We're just having fun. We're just asking Niner fans, because there's a lot of people ticked off at Shanahan, which you and I are in unison. He's really, really good. They're having kind of a down year. They're 5-5.
Well, let's ass ticked off Niner fans. Who would they rather have? Harbaugh or Shanahan? I'm sure the answers are going to go Shanahan's way.
Well, I would honestly, to hear the argument.
Like, Shanahan's Q rating is at an all-time low. Shanahan's Q rating is at an all-time low with this 49ers fan base right now. Is it not?
I don't know. I'm not sure where people stand because I don't think the internet is indicative of real life. Like, when I'm out at the games, we were out there on Sunday, people were frustrated, but nobody was like, fire Shanahan! It wasn't a cavalcade of negativity. It was just like, what is going on in the red zone? Why are we committing penalties?
Monday. Spadoni. Monday. How would you assess the callers on Monday when it came to Kyle Shanahan?
It was 90% fire him.
Fire him.
Yes. Like that. We're not even. That's not hyperbole.
Wow.
It was so bad on the internet. Shasky tried to send photos of his son, baby LJ, saying, "All right, guys, let's cleanse the timeline and get over to Seattle Walls. Here's some photos of my child."
I was pissed too.
Nobody cared,
but
because they wanted to fire Shanahan. His Q rating is at an all-time low. So if you bring up Jim Harbaugh right now, of course fans are going to say Jim Harbaugh. Of course they are.
There's something, they're very different people too. Like, I feel like Harbaugh gives you all the little sound bites and all the little podium talk that everybody finds endearing. And then like Shanahan's kind of miserable at the podium. And again, these are different ways of going about it. I don't think one's right or one's wrong. It's just how they conduct themselves and their personalities.
Harbaugh has some saltiness to the media. He wouldn't answer questions all the time.
Yeah, he went at Lil' Cone.
He was short.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know, he was,
but he also gives you
ass at times.
He gives you the, you know, Michael Crabtree, greatest hands in the history of the game. And, you know, he gives you all these, like, funny things.
And that's why people would rather, like, 707 right now saying he'd rather have Nick Sirianni than Kyle Shanahan.
Well,
I mean, like, this is...
I disagree with that.
But that's what I'm saying. Shanahan's Q ratings at an all-time low. I heard how people talked about Bill Belichick over the last 3 years. Said he was washed, old, da-da-da-da-da. Everybody. And now people would rather have Bill Belichick than Kyle Shanahan.
Well, he's also the greatest, you know, one of the greatest coaches ever.
But over the last 3 years, people said he was washed and done and over the hill.
I think a lot of people were like, the personnel guy in Bill had so much control over the roster, he's done himself in. But that's a very nuanced conversation.
Coach in Los Altos, what's happening?
Hey, Coach.
Two of my favorite people. Great show, as always. Hey, Mike, you know I'm a diehard Niner fan, sort of Niner for life. And I've come to the conclusion, and Shasky, you sort of hinted at this, and I really think this is right, which is, you know, it's just like in a company, you know, there's CEOs that manage all facets of the game. They bring in, you know, they bring in manufacturing, product sales, all the G&A functions, all that stuff, and they manage it across all those components. And I just don't see Shanahan managing any component but offense. And, you know, it's why Bill Belichick was so incredibly successful, besides Tom Brady, is he managed the offense, the defense, and special teams, and he talked about it. And I've seen it in companies where, you know, you could have the best product in the world, but if you can't have people that understand how to sell it or support it or manufacture it, you're not going to be successful as a company. And it just really dawned on me that I don't see him managing the triangle of all three phases of the game. I see him so obsessed with the intricacies of his offense and being that offensive genius that I think he misses that to be a successful organization, company, whatever, to get over the top against somebody like Patrick Mahomes and these guys. And I personally don't even think we're going to make the playoffs. He's got to manage all the facets of the game. And he just has a long way to go. So somebody needs to sit him down and say, look, to be a great coach, to be a great, you know, as Shasky said, the CEO persona, to be able to, you have to move into that next echelon.
Coach, can I ask you a question? Coach, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If Bosa stops them on 4th-and-2 and they win the Super Bowl, are we even having this conversation?
Yeah, winning does trump everything, right?
This is sports. It's crazy.
It's so hard. But I do think his next evolution, if I was coaching the coach, I'd sit him down and say, look, dude, everybody knows you're an offensive genius. Now, why don't you prove that you're a defensive genius, too?
Crocky,
why don't you prove that you can integrate special teams?
Eric Crocker did tell us last year that he is kind of the de facto defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And the 49ers, for the last 5 years, have won 13, 10, 13, 12 games. So I don't think, Coach, he's that far away from getting over the top. Hell, they lost in overtime. They lost
special
in
teams.
The fourth quarter. Special teams,
how
for sure.
Special teams.
He's definitely got a blind spot on special teams.
They got a blind spot on special teams, no doubt.
Yes.
No doubt. But, you know, Luter, guys on the punt team, who back there, poison, 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 get away, get away, get away. Like, I get it. I hear you, Coach. It was a good call. Good to see you really the other night call. With your lovely wife.
Yeah.
They stopped by the gay house yesterday. Coach is cool.
I'll never forget seeing him on the Vegas Strip.
Oh, we talked about it.
Sadly, after the loss. Oh, it was like the worst. He came over and gave us the biggest hug. Was it his two boys?
Yeah, it was two boys. We talked about it the other day.
God, I was so sad.
He also talked about it. I was like, man, you're about to kick that kid's ass. But, you know, like, I look at the poll, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, man. I just think it's beneath us. Would you trade Kyle Shanahan for Jim Harbaugh right now? Like, we're running a poll about trading Kyle Shanahan for Jim Harbaugh.
Put a disclaimer that we're having fun with it.
This is dumb. This is dumb. I don't want my name attached to that one because I ain't with that. Man, that is silly to me. It's just silly. This is where we're at.
50-50 right now, by the way, on the poll.
Yeah, I mean, how many votes, too? I mean,
like,
not 36.
The Q 36. Rating. Like, I'm seeing things. Would you rather have Dan Campbell? When last year I bring up the Lions and people laughed at me saying, you really think Dan Campbell can out-coach Kyle Shanahan? It's like, come on, guys. We have a damn good coach here. We're having a rough year.
No doubt.
Guys are hurt. Guys are beat up.
Possibly.
There's going to be some tweaks in the offseason, no matter what happens the rest of the season. Hell, the season's not even over. You beat the Green Bay Packers. Arizona has a good chance of losing up in Seattle. Oh,
please.
Seattle's had their number. They've had Kyler's number. Go up there and beat Arizona, and the Rams lose to Philadelphia. Guess what? You're tied for first place again. Then are we kissing Shanahan's ass again? Are we saying he's the greatest thing since Possibly. Apple pie? What are we doing? Are we trading him for Jim Harbaugh? Are we trading him for Mike Tomlin? Are we trading him for Dan Campbell? What are we doing here? I'm trying to have fun, but come on, man. Like, we know how the Harbaugh era ended. And we know what Shanahan has built here in San Francisco. An expansion team. Built this roster from the bottom up. 54-29.
I mean,
how did Harbaugh comes into a situation. You already had Patrick Willis. You already had Navarro Bowman. You already had Ahmad Brooks. You already had Justin Smith. You already had Deshaun Golston. You already had Frank Gore. You already had Anthony Davis. You already had Mikey Potty. You already had Joe Staley. You already had Alex Bloom. You already had Michael Crabtree. You already had Joe Staley. Had Alex Smith.
Yeah, but
you had talent.
No, I know, but
he didn't. The reset wasn't. Shanahan literally started from the bottom with this organization.
No doubt.
Literally had not one blue chip player where Harbaugh comes into this organization with 10 blue chip players.
Yeah, but they weren't blue chip when he came on. Only Patrick Willis was quote unquote all pro.
Those guys were good, though.
No, I'm not denying that.
Staley were first round picks. Mike Iupati was a damn good line. Frank Gore was a damn good running back.
I'm not denying that, but all of them had not even come close to the success that they saw when Harbaugh got here. But there are a lot of people that feel this way, and this is my buddy Damien. Some folks are destined to always fall short. He feels that Shanahan is one of them. He'll never win one as a head coach. He's a Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley level. Gonna always fall just a little short. I'm not saying that he's wrong, but I think a lot of people feel that way, and that's their opinion. And I think that's kind of the fun of this like little exercise we're doing right now. And you know what? Before Harbaugh won it in Michigan, couldn't you say a similar thing about him? About falling short?
Over and over and over again.
And in horrific ways.
That's what I'm saying. But in his situation, he came into a situation where the Niners, all they needed was a tweak and a kickstart. They had premium talent on that team. Vernon Davis was not one of the better tight ends in the league.
I know, we were pretty down and out, though.
But
I mean, the quarterback, Monte, the quarterback had one foot out of the league.
Yeah, but I'm saying around the quarterback, Crabtree, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore, the offensive line that I just mentioned, they had players.
No, I know
they
did.
It wasn't like they didn't have players.
They drafted in the top 10 year after year.
But the reason why we were so down on them was because they did have the talent. And they were underwhelming and not exceeding expectations. Shanahan literally came here to an expansion
team. No doubt. They inherited
games by myself at Levi's Stadium where they're throwing the ball to Jeremy Curley.
No one is arguing that they didn't inherit different situations. We totally agree with that.
Right.
And I'm just saying, like, Shanahan has continued to replenish. Harbaugh kind of stalled out. And also, the working of the relationships, clearly Shanahan is better behind the scenes than Harbaugh.
No doubt.
Maybe Harbaugh's evolved, but like, the evidence is in the pudding here.
But the proof is there. But the Q rating is so down on Shanahan that we know people are going to say, yeah, trade Shanahan for Harbaugh, and I don't want my name attached to that. I'm not there. Harbaugh's doing his thing with the Chargers. I'm happy for him. I loved Harbaugh, but I'm pretty damn happy with Shanahan and what he's done with the 49ers. All right. Injury report.
time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
707. Is it possible to bring back Steve Mariucci? Warriors are hosting the Hawks. Tonight, they might be without one of their starters, Jalen Johnson. He didn't play the other night in Sacramento. He's questionable with the lower leg inflammation. He's a good player. Good player. This Hawks team is long and athletic. But he didn't play against Sacramento, yet they won 109-108 over the Kings in the Capitol. So it's possible the Hawks could hold out Johnson again tonight. Maybe we'll text Grant Liffman. Let's DM Grant Liffman. Hey, give us some insight. We want to know the game plan. Is Jalen Johnson playing or not? It's a good player. Injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's cut open the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Let's trade Kyle Shanahan for Todd Bowles. Maybe that's coming up. You guys want Todd Bowles? Super Bowl winning defense coordinator. Love it. We want Todd Bowles.
Doug Peterson straight up for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, he's won a Super Bowl.
I think Antonio Pierce might be available.
Oh.
Hey, Schefter did say 7-9 openings this year. 7-9.
Not 5, not 6, not 7.